morning. Today is our 100th Enyakos year. Thank you to all who have participated.
Thank you. You're welcome. Welcome.
We're talking about the Gemara that says that Hashem wanted to make Sancher of Gog Magog. The primary place in Tanakh, not the only place, but the primary place in Tanakh where Gog Magog is discussed is in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Chet, which includes the Haftorah for this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Chol Hamoed Pesach. The Medrash Sukkos, thank you, Shabbos Chol Hamoed Sukkos, which is this coming Shabbos. So the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni on that parak says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGog, Al Tomar Masha Tabli B'cha She'ini Yodea. Don't say that I don't know what's in your heart. As Yirmiyah said, people's hearts are crooked. Who could know what's there? Amarti lo, Ramach Evarim Barati Badam. Hashem says, I created 248 limbs, body parts in a person. V'kulam umdim b'midatam k'mo shebaratim. All of them behave the way I created them, chutz min alev, except for the heart. Amar Yirmiyahu, lev ze mitchalef mishal shah, the heart changes constantly. It changes itself, it makes itself crooked. So no person can know what's in the heart, but ani Hashem choker lev, I am Hashem who investigates the heart. Medrash goes on, Hashem saying to Gog, don't think that I don't know what's in your heart. The Medrash continues, V'kach amar l'sancheirav. Hashem said the same thing to Sancheirav. Mipnei sh'ata mitga'eh umarbed v'reim chayecha ad shlo braticha yodea yiti ma hayita atid lasad. Hashem says to Sancheirav, you're haughty and you talk a lot, but even before you were created, I knew what you were going to do in the future. So, similar conversations between Hashem and Gog and Hashem and Sancheirav. So other in addition to the similarities we mentioned in the past, that they both came with allies from many nations, or Gog will come with allies from many nations, but we see similar personalities in Gog and Sancheirav that adds to that connection between Gog and Sancheirav, which the Gemara says could have been the same person if Gog was a person. And what do I mean by that? So Yechezkel Lamed Chet Perek Lamed Chet Pasuk Aleph says Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai Lamor. Hashem said to me, Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Simpanech al Gog, Eretz Hamagog, Nesi Rosh Meshech Vetuval, Vinave Alea. Turn your face towards Gog, the land of the Magog, Nesi Rosh Meshech Vetuval, the Nasi, the prince, literally the elevated one, at the head of Meshech and Tuval, which are two nations. Meshech, Tuval, and Magog are nations descendant from Yefet, Ninavele, and prophesy about it. Rashi says, El Gog, Kach Shem HaMelech, that's the name of the king. HaMagog, Shem HaUma, that's the name of the nation. Kamad Atamar, Gomer Umagog, as it says in Parshas Noach, when it lists the nations, Gomer and Magog. So according to Rashi, Gog is a person, the king, and Magog is his nation. Radak says, El Gog Eretz HaMagog, Magog Hayam Ibnei Yefet. Magog was from the sons of Yefet, V'chein Meshech V'Tuval, and likewise Meshech and Tuval. Uvomro HaMagog says, Gog Eretz HaMagog, the land of the Magog, Behei HaYediyah, the Ein Hei Hayidia Baal Shem Adam. You don't usually attach a Hey to a person's name, like the Howie, the Yehuda, We don't usually talk that way. Efshar shehu shem hayachas ki arishon sheyah ben yefet ha'am hayotze mimenu nikra'im magog shemin yachasim el magog harishon nachein shevet ha'menashe. He says, but in describing a relationship, we do find like the tribe of the Menashe, so too the nation, the land of the Magog. Hashem hayachas tavo hayidia. VeGog shem hamelech hamolech alehim, and Gog is the name of the king who ruled over Magog. So Rashi and Radak both understand that Gog is a person, king, and Magog is his nation. In the commentary Mincha Gedola, which is in the art scroll Mikros Gedolos on Yechezkel, he quotes Abarbanel. He says, "Moreinu Harav Yitzchak Abarbanel Zal Inyan haNevuah Hazot Kinyan haNevuah Shperashti Lamala." This Nevuah is like Nevuah that I explained above, where Yechezkel was told to prophesy about Mitzrayim. V'hu Shemachrit Hayamim. At the end of days, Kishakadosh Baruch Hu Yirtzeh Lig'ol Et Amo Vel Kavetz Nidachav, when Hashem wants to redeem his nation and gather in those who are dispersed, Yelchu HaNotzrim Kolomar Bnei Edom, the Notzrim, the Christians, who are just the sons of Edom, Admat Yisrael Kavsha, will go to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'yachrivu Rishonat Mitzrayim, first they will destroy Mitzrayim, v'yasuba chalalim harbei, they will kill many, v'yalchu lichbosh et Eretz Yisrael kedei lakod et Yerushalayim v'lemshol ba, then they will go on to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to capture Yerushalayim and to rule over it. Because of that, the nations of the east and the north will go to meet the Bnei Edom in battle. Umichlalam ye Gog Eretz Hamagog, and among them will be Gog Eretz Hamagog, sheyetzei gamkin miyarkatei tzafon, who will come from the northernmost regions, lavol mechamazot, for this war. Vekatav Rashi, shegog hu shem hamelech, magog hu shem homa. Rashi says that Gog is the name of the king, and Magog is the name of the nation. Velinir abba, to me, the Barbanel, it appears, Shein adavar kein, that's not correct. Ela shagog hu shem ha'uma. Gog is the name of the nation. Umagog hu shem ha'machoz va'aretz asher hu garba. And Magog is the region and the land where they live. Ve'av shen amar shayub mi b'nei yefet sh'nitashu v'aretz tzafon. And even though it says that b'nei yefet lived in the north, ein safek sh'misham yatzu chusim mehem l'itashay v'aretz marav, there's no doubt that some people left there and settled in the west, Kmo Shekatav Yosef Ben Gurion, as Josephus writes. V'zeu ma shamar kan nesi rosh meshech Tuval, and therefore he's called the prince of rosh meshech Tuval. Lefi shotam shtei haumot, those two nations, or the prince, the head of meshech Tuval, because those two nations, meshech and Tuval, yatzu misham, they went out from the north and settled in the west. Vodia Navi Mihu Gog Asher Lo Yadano. The Navi is telling us who is Gog, who we don't know anything about. Navi is telling us that Am Meshech V'Tuval Asher Yadano Shiatzu Misham, that he's associated with the nations of Meshech and Tuval, who we do know left the north and settled in the west. I don't know who, still don't know who he's referring to. It appears that at first they settled in the north, and then the land couldn't carry so many people, or for some other reason, they moved to the west, as did many other nations, that they moved from here to there. Maybe that's why they're called Meshech. Meshech means to draw out. Because he extended himself to take over places of habitation in the west that were not his. V'tuval mirshon holacha ohova'a. And tuval also means to be led. It's the language of going or being brought. V'araya al zeh shekvar zachar kan gog v'er ha'mot shevah imo amar paras kushu putitam gomer v'chol agafeh beto gomar yagdei tzavon v'lo zachar shevah imo meshech v'tuval. When it mentions other nations, it does in Pasuk Hey, it that come with Gog, it doesn't mention Meshech and Tuval because they had already left that area. So Meshech and Tuval, what it's telling us is, if you want to know who Gog is, what nation Gog is, it's the nation that Meshech and Tuval came from. But now they're not there anymore. They're not part of this alliance. If the commentaries were right, that Meshech and Tuval are nations in the land of Hamagog, then we would have to say that the chapter 32, which he mentioned before, was talking about Egypt, is also talking about Gog, because there it does say Meshech and Tuval. And that in that case, Gog's downfall will be together with the other nations, of Anichtav Shem V'Kotzer, but there it's mentioned only briefly, V'atahir Ahu Hashem L'Navi V'Pratiut, and now Hashem showed it to the Navi in detail. He continues, Aval Kalut Ha'inyan Hazeh Hu Shelo Tiyeh Biat Gog U'Magog Al Admat Yisrael L'Lachem B'nei Yisrael. Gog U'Magog is not going to come to fight with the Jewish people. Rather, the Christians are going to come to try to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and Gog and Magog with these other nations are going to come to fight against the Christians. It's not a war about the Jewish people. That's why he's going to come from the far north. Shezachar bota parshan iskar. V'lo haya imkein kavanat HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'pol azeh l'chalot poshei Yisrael l'varam. It's not Hashem's intention to destroy the sinners of the Jewish people. Ela l'inakeim oivav ha'notzrim hava'im eretz marav. It's to take revenge on his enemies, the Christians who come from the West. The Barbanel lived through the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, you know, in the name of the Pope and the Catholic Church. And so he certainly had strong feelings about the Christians, understandably. And to take revenge as well from the nations that will come from the east and the north. And that is the truth of this matter. Not like the other commentaries thought. That is the essence of the Barbanel. What does it mean? Will it be a actual physical war? We'll see. The Malbim says, Kinei b'nei Edom hechrivu bayit sheni, the Edomites destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. U'meshech v'tuval hayu imahem, Meshech v'tuval were their allies. Ki haromiyim ha'machrivim hayu az rosh la'umot shachar kach nikru b'shem ha'kolel Edom. The Romans were the heads of the nations that collectively would later be called Edom, al shem emunatam, because of their beliefs. K'moshe katav v'mefarshim ha'kadmonim, u'k'moshe katav morein Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel b'sraf v'orech. V'rotzeh Hashem, Hashem wants shebacharit ha'yamim yitasfu sham b'mekom ha'resha, heim u'b'nei Yishmael shetachtam galu Yisrael v'savlu ra'ot rabot v'sarot. Hashem wants, it's Hashem's desire that at the end of days there should be an ultimate showdown between the Christians and the Muslims, and then Hashem will take revenge on both of them. That's the Malbim, who lived more recently in the 1800s, understands Mechemek Gog Magog as well. Again, remains to be seen. The Pasuk describes Gog Eretz HaMagog as Nisi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval. The Nasi, the elevated one, does not describe him as a Melech, as a king. Rav Moshe Shapiro, in Afike Mayim on Sukkos, chapter 13, quotes a Medrash. It says on Pasuk that we say every day in davening, Lecha Hashem Hagdula Vagura Vatferet Venesach Vahod. It says Lecha Hashem Mamlacha Vamitnasei. To you, Hashem, is Mamlacha, kingship, and Mitnasei, being elevated. The Medrash says, actually it's Gemara, Brachos Nun Chedem Aleph. Hamamlacha refers to being king over Amalek, the war of against Amalek. Vamitnasei refers to the war against Gog and Magog. When in relation to Amalek, Hashem is called a king. In relation to Gog and Magog, Hashem is called a Nasi. And Gog is called the Nasi of the people. So he explains, based on Maral, that a king is just someone who rules by force. Just one person just takes over and controls other people. A Nasi is a person who is also a leader, but he's a leader with based on some idea. He's elevated by some values or some philosophy. So what about Gog and Magog makes the or about Gog makes the title Nasi appropriate? So he brings from Sifrei Chassidus that Gemara says in Shabbos, Gemara talks about the Aleph Beis. So it says that the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that children came to Beis Medrash today and they said something that even in days of Yeshua ben Nun had not been said. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina. Aleph Beis means learn, understanding. Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalim. Be generous with poor people. And it goes on through the whole Aleph Beis. Now, the word dal, poor person, is a word that we find in connection with David HaMelech. Daloti v'li Oshia. I was dal, I was very poor, very lowly, and he will redeem me. We also find in Hallel, Mekimi me'afar dal. Hashem, lift me up. Lifts me up from the lowly dust. And later in Hallel, we find as well David HaMelech talking about how he was lowly and he was lifted up. The stone that everyone despised or thought was lowly, was nothing. Became the cornerstone. So this is a concept we find by David of being dal, of being lowly. If you take the word David, take out the dalids, replace them with gimels, leave the vav, dalid, vav, dalid, take out the dalids, replace them with gimels, you have Gog. Okay. Gog is, in this expression, gimol dalim, Gog is the gomel, the one who gives, not because he gave anything, but because he viewed himself as somebody who was worthy of being one to give. In other words, he thought that he was in control of his possessions, or he will think if he's someone in the future. It represents the philosophy of being in control, being a big shot. And therefore being one who could give. Not that Gog is a big baltstaka, but he's the big shot who could give. As we mentioned last week, this ties into Sukkos, because the idea of Sukkos is going into the Sukkah, going in with nothing, going out of our nice houses into the Sukkah, of humbling ourselves, of recognizing everything's under Hashem's control, which is, again, the opposite of Gog, which is, as we discussed, not a coincidence that two of the Haftorahs on Sukkot have to do with Gog and Magog, because there's that direct contrast between the philosophy of Gog. That's why he's called a Nasi, because he's not just a king who comes and rules just for the satisfaction of ruling, but he claims to have, he represents some philosophy, and that philosophy is directly contrary to Sukkos. A little bit of a change of gears, but also related to the Haftoros of Sukkos and the future war. So in Haftorah for the first day of Sukkos, in Zechariah, Pasuk says, "Hinei yom v'al Hashem chulak shalech b'kirbeich." A day will come for Hashem, and your booty will be distributed among you. V'asafti et kol ha'goyim el Yerushalayim l'mechama, gather all the nations to Yerushalayim for war. And it continues, "V'yatsa Hashem v'nilcham v'goyim ahem k'yomi lachamo b'yom krav." Hashem will go and fight these nations like he did on the day of battle. He'll stand on Har HaZeitim, Asher al Pnei Yerushalayim Mekedem, which is to the east of Yerushalayim. And Har HaZeitim will split in half from east to west. And then half of it will move north and half of it will move south. Stam gay harai ki agia gay harim el etzel vinastem kasher nastem vipnei harash vimeziav melchuda. Then the valley will close up, and you will flee like you fled on the day of the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Rav David Tevely of Minsk, one of the original students of the Volozhin Yeshiva in the days of Rav Chaim Volozhin, writes in his Drashos Nachlas David Drush Yud, says that Pasuk says that Hashem will fight like he fought on the day of the battle. What's the day of the battle referred to? It's the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. And there's a parallel here between Kriyas Yamsuf, where the sea split and then closed up and drowned the enemies. And here Har HaZeitim will split and then will close up and crush the enemies. Question is, why, what's the significance of the fact that that was water and this is land? And why, Dafka, this battle at the end of days, will it take place this way? So he says that we know that the Tsar of the Romans of Edom, that we've been talking about, rides on a nachash, rides on a snake. I was told over Yom Tov, the Tsar, the guardian angel, rides on a snake, whatever that means. I was told when I said this at the table over Yom Tov that Romans were used snakes as symbols. I have not independently researched that, but in any event, there's a connection between Romans and the snakes, just like there's a connection between Paro. Paro is referred to in Sefer Yechezkel as a tanin, as a crocodile. So Paro, crocodiles are primarily water animals. Snakes are primarily land animals. So Paro is associated with water and therefore was defeated in the water, just to show him, you know, that where you think your power is in the water, Hashem is in control. The Romans are represented by a land creature, and they think they're in control of the land, so Hashem will defeat them in a parallel way. By Romans, you mean Edom, which, as the Barbanel said, means Christians, means the West. So Hashem will show them who's in control in a parallel way, but on land. He says further, his connection, we know that the current galus was caused by Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is associated with Lashon Hara. Chazal say that Gemara, Tanis, and in Eruvin, Amr Bishum Lakish Maidhtiv Imishochana Hash Belolachash Maiton the Balashan. Pasuk in Kohelet says the snake bites without an incantation, and what benefit is there to one who speaks Lashon Hara? So the Gemara says in the future all the animals will gather in front of the Nachash and they'll say to him, lions kill and eat, wolves kill and eat. Why do you kill? And he will respond, and why do people speak Lashon Hara? In other words, people do senseless things, and I do senseless things. He says that we find that the nations among whom we are exiled sometimes make decrees on us that seem senseless. When I was a child, I was always bothered by the question, if the Russians don't like Jews, why don't they let them go? Why are they keeping them? And perhaps he's answering that question. Of course, he lived in the early 1800s, before there was a Soviet Union, but perhaps he's explaining that. He's saying, just like Lashon Hara, which caused the Gullus, is senseless, and just like the snake, which is the representation of the Gullus, does senseless things, so too the Gullus will include many senseless decrees. He then brings from the Vilna Gaon that the word sukkah, samech vav chaf hei, is made up of letters that are formed with four different parts of the mouth and throat. There are altogether five different kinds of letters. So there are letters that are formed by the teeth, like samech. You need your teeth to say samech. Vav, which is formed by the lips. Chaf, which comes from the palate. Hey, which comes from the throat. And the fifth one is letters that are formed by the tongue, and that's not represented in the word sukkah. The Vilna Gaon says, because sukkah represents the four walls that close in the tongue, which could prevent a person from speaking Lashon Hara. And it's noteworthy that one of the few places in the Mishnah Berurah where the prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara is mentioned is in Hilchos Sukkah. He takes pains to point out that one should not speak Lashon Hara in the Sukkah, say in the name of the Ger Rebbe, Imre Emes, that why the Mishnah Berurah warn you not to speak Lashon Hara in the Sukkah? Because your Sukkah is right next to your neighbor's Sukkah. If you speak Lashon Hara about your neighbor, he's going to hear you. But in any event, we see a connection since the original Gullus was caused by Lashon Hara, and Sukkah sort of contains Lashon Hara, so another connection between Sukkah and the future Geula, which will be defeating the snake, which represents the Roman Empire and their successors, and therefore will be done on land. Have a good moed. Next year will be Thursday after Simchas Torah.